He was toileted in Mizrach Dafka. Why? He says, "V'tolaz ba'ayim ipnei ka'ayin rov Mizrach admayev u'mekabla kol." He was toilet the sphere with the eye, because the eye sees me Mizrach admayev u'mekabla hakol, because shadovak ba'chisaren eino moli klal v'roitze v'chofitz tomid lekabel ve'eino sovea. So he says over here that the ayin is something which is never full. It has chisaron to it. And it's something which is, it always wants to recover, doesn't have sphere. I want to talk about this first. He's going to go through a chazal. I first want to talk a little about the bria of ayin. We define different dargis of chai, different dargis of the bria in terms of movement. So a domain is something which does not move. A tzomeach has some degree of movement. A bal chai is called, in the lashon of the kadmonim, is called a misnoeach. Is something which has movement. It can move and is independent of being stuck to one place. Adam has even a further darga of movement over a balichai. In what way? A balichai only moves when somebody presses the remote control. In other words, something rouses its sense of danger. It needs food, and so on. In other words, its movements are something which fills its needs to get out of danger, to get food, or to roam around, just because that's what it is. But that's the tenu of a bal chai. Adam is unusual in that an Adam is a mahalich. A person creates his needs through his goals, and thereby it generates halicha that wasn't there before. So a bal chai is born with an instinct to find food, drink, shelter, and get out of away from heat or cold or whatever it is, and that's that. No animal has ambitions. Adam generates an ambition. He sees something and he creates a desire to want to be like it. So if my largest sense of a Talmud Chacham, let's take an example, is Reuven, that's as far as I'll strive to be. If I see somebody like Shimon, who is way greater than Reuven, I'm despoiled from it. And I generate I generate movement towards that goal. That is Tzuras, that's Tzuras Adam. The kli for that is the ayin, in the sense that the eye seeing allows it to set goals, because that which the person can't see, maybe he can project, which is also a type of seeing. But if he can't see it nor project it, then there's no way he's going there. It says by Makas Choshech that that it was so dark, nobody could get up from their place. The pshat in that is because if you have no place to go to, you're not moving. If the Choshech is very strong, then where are you going to? You have it. It says in Halacha, "Lolem yitza adam bechitov." A person should travel during the daytime, not at nighttime. At night, we have lights on the car so that we have a sense of where we're going to. Kind of, it doesn't show, but it's a different type than the light that's right in front of your nose. It gives you a longer sweep and so on. So you have the same thing, Lamashal, by Ner Mitzvah and Torah Or. Ner mitzvah means the light. The Moshe Chazal use is One is like a light itself, and one is a focused a torch or candle. A mitzvah illuminates a particular act. Torah illuminates the horizon. So it gives the person, and Chazal said they have a different problem, but it gives a person a sense of where to go to and so on. The aver of the ayin allows a person to perceive things where he's not, and to make that the goal where he's going to get to, and that's where he's going to end up at. So the ayin is the chetimtza for getting to a certain place. The problem starts when the ayin generates tshukos towards many, many things that the person doesn't really need. And the person can't discriminate. He doesn't use seichel to control the ayin. There's no shmira seinayim to say, this is for me to use, this is not for me to use. This I need, this I don't need. This is a goal that's a real goal for me. And this is a goal that's meaningless. That's when the ayin is haywire. It's not being controlled. So the eye takes in all there is, but the seichel has got to make decision. Let's give it a simple example. A person goes looking for a house, an apartment. So the eye gives him a sense of what there is, and obviously the nicer and better things he sees, the more he wants those. The seichel imposes a certain control and says, this is out of my range, this is out of my league, this is not something that I need at all, and so on and so forth. But the ayin itself is an aver that doesn't have any sphere. It doesn't have any fulfillment because it's not meant to fulfill the person himself. It's meant to see beyond the person. So wherever you are, there's always something ahead that's better. And therefore, there's no makom svi over there. My stomach has... you ever watch sometimes a kid who's really into eating? So his stomach, he grabs something, you know, let's say you let him loose at sort of a Viennese table or a smorgasbord or something like that. And the kid runs from, or Purim, when you have all the stuff laying all over the place, the kid runs from item to item to item and keeps stuffing it until he basically throws up or thereabouts. Because he keeps seeing all the stuff and it entices him, he's not at all concerned with how much could he possibly retain. You know, what is his capacity? The eye doesn't have that sense to it at all. So the koyach ha'ayin is a koyach of she'ifa. It's interesting that ayin, in a sense of a well, also some that doesn't have any real gevulis to itself. The water just keeps flowing. The more you, and the same thing here also. I think I once spoke about the American concept of shopping. It used to be that you needed something. You needed a shirt. You went down and you looked at the selection they had, and you picked out the amount of shirts you needed, or whatever it is, and that was that. The culture of shopping today, and Baruch Hashem, they gave it a wonderful name, it's called retail therapy. It sounds as if it's a very positive thing, is you walk around stores and you ask yourself, at what point do I want things? I sort of coax my appetite. But the ayin itself has no sevia, and b'meila, wherever he's wrote if tamid acha oisher, the person is caught in a mode of ayin without any control on top of it. Alexander Moikin Shaholik Lichbush is Koloilam. Yes.
Could we maybe say a Kiddush that a Suma is an action of Kames, because this is intrinsic to being a human being, this aspect?
Very true. Good point. Very good point. It's because the Suma does not have, he's not striving to go any place, and in that sense he's not so kemes, correct? Adam is a holich because he's going someplace. I think I was told over the story about, I once read a long time ago, there was some manufacturer in America figured out there was an island somewhere in the Caribbean that had really poor inhabitants and they could work for 50 cents a day or thereabout. And he built a factory there, and they were working really hard and producing whatever widgets he produced, and it was great. About a year after, much less than a year after he opened the factory, the foreman calls up agitated and says, the workers stopped working. And he says, what's the problem? And maybe we'll give him a 10-cent raise, 20-cent raise. And he said, no, that's not the problem at all. They told me that they figured out they have enough money to live on for a year, and they don't see any point in working longer. Maybe next year I'll come back and work again. And the owner was really, really know what to do. He just invested, and someone gave him the idea. He sent them all Sears catalogs. Sears catalogs were in those days, that was like the largest, thickest, nicest catalog with the biggest variety of things. And he gave each one a gift of a Sears catalog. And shortly thereafter, they all returned to work really, really hard, because they all of a sudden had what to buy. They all sort of wanted all the stuff that's there. So it is a ship. And it is also, by the way, Letov. I had a chaver in Eretz Yisrael, who, an American, who was offered a job being a Rosh Kol somewhere in California. I don't remember where it was, a long time ago. And it was sort of a kolel in an area that wasn't so developed, and he went there, was there for 2 years, and he came back. And I was surprised. It was Parnassa, and Israel was not easy for him. And, you know, it was a nice job and everything. And they asked him, how come he came back? And he said, when there's nobody around, where if you can teach people a few lines of Gemara, and they think that you're Rav Shach, what's the incentive to learn Ktzais? Like he said, he felt himself slowly going down the tubes because he had no ambition. There was nowhere to keep him up to. He knew more than they could possibly ever learn in their lives. So there wasn't anything really, churning his juices and sort of pushing himself because he could just coast. So in Torah it's also like that. When you have one of the reasons why it's so important to have a large body of Talmid Chachamim as Talmid Chachamim is because they set a certain standard of what's called Talmid Chacham. Sometimes one of the more painful conversations is, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who went to the same school I did for elementary and high school. He was more kind of Mizrahi, modern Orthodox, and he went to college and became very Erlich of Alabas. And then he made Aliyah at some point. He was very Zionist. And Eretz Yisrael had some cash with him. And he said, and it was once, you know, obviously when we had Mofa Shabbos, there was always the conversations about, the conversations about Zionist, this, that. And he said, listen, don't pull rank on me and tell me something about the Gdolim, because, you know, we both went to the same school and we saw the Gdolim there. And you know that some of them were Zionists and some were not. Now, the people he was referring to, you know, yes, they were Rebbeim in elementary school. The word Talmud Chacham is a very loose fit for these people. And, you know, to even compare them, he just had no clue about what a Talmud Chacham is, just no clue. And it was painful. I didn't bother to argue, really, because these arguments of he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's a Talmud Chacham, are not great. But when you have, it was one of the accomplishments that Lakewood accomplished for the modern Orthodox community in America was that Lakewood set a standard of Talmud Chacham that was hard to ignore. I mean, the vast majority of people who came out of YU, except for the Yechidei school, who were brilliant and into learning, were quite weak by all accounts. They were nice people, and some were Erlich, some were different, and whatever it is, whatever qualities they may have possessed, Talmud Chacham wasn't one of them. And you can't, you know, all of a sudden you present people who are writing on Tyrus and on Kachim and on Zoyim and Rebar and Shmuz Shurim and this and that. They felt a tremendous pressure to up the, and they started having all these kolim and super kolim and post kolim, which was anathema to YU before. But they realized, you know, you can't have a gap that's so huge and still feel that you're a valid rabbinate. But upon him, the ayin is the kli for that. L'kacham esechtes tamid. By the way, when it says in the flip side, it says if somebody does a psia gasa, he loses a part of his moirinayim. It's the hef. In other words, if a person overdoes it, then the eye stops becoming. You know, if a person impulsively follows the eye, that means he's not seeing it clearly. He's just running after his eyes. That's part of that in it. L'kacham seftes tamid Alexander moikten shayholik lifus kol oilam at shigil seif oilam v'gia legan Eden loy paschal leishay gan Eden sh'omu lo tzadikim yobo'ovo v'oma ano malko mechashev chashvana havali havali midi I'm a chashve king. I want something from Eden. Yovali galgalta de ena. So they gave him an eyeball. Iskala the kula kasa de hava. He weighed all silver gold against the eyeball. Loi tokel. He couldn't overweigh it. Amlu mai hai. Amle galgalta de ena de bisav edoma. The loi sava. This is the eye of a bus of a dom that's not satiated. Amlu mai de hachi hu. The loi sava. How do I know that that's the pshat? Amrish koil afro la alta tokel atka. Said to put earth on it and cover it, and you'll see the gold and silver overweight and kachab. Pirse, what's the pshat? Alexander yoholich v'kovish kol ha'olam. Alexander was conquering the entire world. Loi dailu b'malchus shaloi asher kor kavash atchei roitz af lichnos gan Eden asher v'den roiloi. He wasn't content with his malchus. He wanted to overflow into gan Eden. Because in Alexander's eyes, conquest, pure conquest, was chashivas. In other words, as far as the world goes, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we are supposed to be kovish the world. So within the world itself, the ma'ase kibush ha'adam can be seen as appropriate. We're supposed to appropriate land, work it, you know, develop it, and make it usable for man. So you couldn't actually tell that it was unbridled ambition. But when we got to Gan Eden is something that's not Shaykh Tadam. And once his desire to cross into Gan Eden came, that was clear that he wanted to conquer something that Adam has a makom. Ubeshvul ze ama machshav chashvana ki malkano o kach roi lelov afgani. Ubevaday ilohoyo malchus se karoui if his malchus would have been an appropriate malchus. Shoy malchus shoy Hashem zbo chavis poi lo yuhoyo dovek bei chisor vayesavea lo yuhoyo lelich vayshav dove shen roi. Had his malchus been appropriate, meaning he has the ability to say, this is my role. I'm supposed to do X, I'm supposed to do Y, but not Z. So there, if that would have been his perspective, then he would be, he would stop at some point. A person would say to himself, it's like a person has a right and maybe even an obligation to develop his business, his farm, is whatever enterprise is in, that's appropriate. That's the derech olam. That's derech eretz. But the person also needs to say atka. If this is taking me past, where I have no day or night or menuchas nefesh, overly risky, you know, no clear reason why this is a, you know, why this is a continuation of what I'm doing, or of my talent, or whatever it is. It's just expansion, same expansion. Then I need to be able to say, no, this is not my chelik. So if the person can cap it and say, this is my chelik, this is not my chelik, then fine. So if he wouldn't, if it would have been kavish only the things that is royal lichbaish, then he wouldn't have any chisurin. For your severe, then he would be full. Yes?
Is the reason there wasn't roitim because he was one of the Dalet Malchis? They took the
correct. So many things in the world were ra'oi, but the red line that he crossed, or one could say better, you know, the warning the Dalet Malchis could be as the warning the Malchis of the world could be because Akash Baruch had said that Yovel needs to rule over the world, or it could be because his own unbridled ambition wants that. And the riot to that was when he crossed over into Gan Eden. Avol mipnei shehoya malchus shaloi malchus shein ha-shalom lekach l'resaveya v'lekach nosno legalgal t'deina. That's why they gave him this, an eyeball, klema. The reason why you're conquering even things that I'm not shaykhus to you, you have this midas ha'ayin which is not severe. V'pnei ku basav adam shu guf chomri. V'shvil kach dovak by a head of a concern. V'lekach ein a severe v'shal a head of shlavik v'ayin. In your mid of ayin, there's always going to be chisarin. He says it many times that anything that's chomri is be'etzim has chisarin to it. And therefore the ayin that's chomri is always has chisarin. And that's why he weighed against it, the gold, all gold and silver, and it didn't, it kept out, it kept overriding them. In other words, nothing fills it, so its capacity is never met with all of that. So I like always give the mashal. If a person eats because he's hungry, because his stomach is empty, so there's a certain certain marker which will tell him full. If a person eats out of nervousness or stress or whatever it is, it's not going to give that. So he says, "V'leihem in kigalta in a seveya." Eish and Avir are all transparent. Ofer is not. Ofer is opaque. The reason why it's like that, but it means as follows. Normally, one way of looking at it is the other ones are more refined. They're not so material, and therefore they are, you can see through it. It's sort of a refinement, you know, that something which is thin and usually transparency also is a factor of how thick or thin it is. But there's a deeper point in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more something is chomer, the more something is material or physical, the more it has, the more it is hiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu within it. The lowest bechina that we're talking about is called Malchus, and in Hashem's name Yudkei Vavkei is the last Hey. Malchus has in itself. We always talk Malchus about HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the people in this world. another way of looking at it is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself within the context of these this worldly elements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes things of this world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself in Shemayim is more apparent, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more apparent. But in a very physical world where the laws of nature reign supreme, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within that, that's the Makom Gneza in the Bria. It's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. And he presents himself to us in a way that is completely hidden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds a magnificent world with excruciating complexity, and when it's given to people, very bright people, they can look and say, hey, no God. You know, that's how the koyach of Geniza lies in the most material of things, because that is almost by definition, since everything is Hashem, the more material something is, the more it has a koach, it has ability to be master HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when we speak about these four elements, earth is the most physical and the coarsest, and something which you can't even use it as a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it contains in itself the ability to hide things, the koach hagniza. So he says, so that's why a mace is nignas in the offer, the dam when it needs kisui is in the offer. Offer is the most hidden and covered. The Dalai says, can I give off? Can this list? Hey, which is Malchus, which is where in our actions, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But our actions, as one understands Bechira, means that it hides the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, Ulefika ha'ofa, hefech ha'ayin, kibayin boi megula hakol, the eye is a place where everything is megula, v'ilu ha'ofu mechas hakol. V'kol ha'yesoides em psuchim, chutz min ha'aretz shein ha'psuchu rakstuma. All of the other yesodos are transparent, except for the earth, which is opaque. Ulekachi muchan lekisu yustima, and that's why earth is the vehicle for hiding and for being soysim something. The dovah zu omek mo'id. For romzol im Gan Eden. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out an eye from Gan Eden.
So, is that a quick question, Robin?
Sure.
Can you explain one more time? I don't understand. Kisui Adam.
Yeah.
You covered in the earth, and therefore what?
No, anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that the mitzvah is to cover, means to hide. In other words, earth is the hiding place. So the Gemara says, Sofim have shmira bekarka. Earth is a place that swallows up the trace of anything, that swallows up things and makes them, put some mechitza between them and anything on top. So he's not explaining why kisui adam is that, but when it's called kisui, offer is the right thing to use. Because you could have covered it with a shmata. The Gemara has a shayla about Afer. So the vehicle for covering something would be Afer. The Chole says that Psuchos Ha'aretz Shein Psuchos Stukma Lokachem V'Rom Zem Gan Eden Kikashe Eina Saveya I Efshel Azbiyosay Rak BeAfer. The Hainu Shia Ayan Toma Ba'ofa Ade Misa. Kiroila Dabazer, Kashu Chase Tamit. Ve'enoi Svia, I Efshel Azbiyose Kima De Ofa Shubit La'ayan. So there was a remez there, that when the Ayan is Toma Ba'ofa Ade Misa. In other words, by Misa we stop being Shoef, and that's sort of when we're covered from the world. V'dova zegerma misa elov atshia ba'ofer. V'kach iru l'gzander moikdin, shemeis koidim chatzi yomov, k'me shekosan farshim olav pesh daniel akosuv, uki otzmoi nishra akeret. It says that Alexander Moikta died very young. And Chazal Dasha from the Pasuk, it says, as he peaked his power, his horn broke. V'chol ze gil mishoy sevir la'enoi. V'tomid hoya oid chase. V'im kein roi la'zbir seshe chase oid. V'zel de misa. So he says a very interesting shot, so to speak, as to his dying. So let's go to two things. There is a element over here that it is. There are two points. First, he's saying that Misa was kilu a tikkun for him. The only thing that could be masbia him would be Misa. That's one point. There's another point here where it says that he died. So it says that he died b'chodem chatzi yama. So the dying itself, he says ki'ilu. I guess it sounds like it was the tovaso. The only way he would ever rest would be by dying. There's another knetcher that it says he didn't live very long. It says meis koidem chatzi yama. There's a gemara like that. And there's a pasuk. There's a gemara in Sanhedrin of Kufav. It says Amalei hahu mina le Chanina. It says an apikoros told Reb Chanina, did you hear mishmelech Bilam by kama habe? How old was Bilam when he died? So he said, I don't find it. There's almost foolish pasuk, but it says Anshe Domim Mirmalech. So you may him. So he must have been 33 or 34. So he says, well, it's right. I saw Pilum's Pinkus, and it says that he was 33. The concept of Leyechzi Mehem means as Lechura as follows. It's a pasuk, Leyechzi Mehem. They say it on Bilum. I saw somebody once dash and pshat that it was a code word for Yeshu. Maybe not. But the point is like this. Whenever a person, I guess let's give a crude example. A person works hard and attains something and should spend the rest of the time enjoying that which he attained. So today we have the concept of retirement. A person will work very hard to attain the goods that he wants and needs, and just, you know, at least in his fantasy, will enjoy them at retirement. There should be a swing point. When a person, it's, you know, whenever you get to the midpoint, you're going downhill again. You should not, ambition and so on, and greed shouldn't take you past a certain half point mark, because then when are you going to enjoy it? I'm going to work till I'm 85, then I'll enjoy it, but you're not thinking yourself much years. It's if a person wants to get back before it gets dark, he's on a hike, you walk out until midday and then you make way back, because you reach a point. If the aim is to reach a certain point, then the point will be at the mid length. A person whose ambition is unbridled and has no gvulis, he's going to keep clawing away till the very end, because he has no ambition, because he has full of ambition, he has no stop to it. Rishayim is lo yechzi mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't cross the halfway mark, because there's no real point in them crossing the halfway mark. Basically, there's no end to it. My father once told me there's a Russian short story. I don't remember it exactly. Pretty much, I don't remember the title either, but I heard it enough times to remember the basic story, where there was some sort of a king decided that he wanted to farm some of his outlying provinces and settle them. So he made a contest, and the contest was that at the morning of a chosen day, of a certain day, anybody could enter the race, and you started running in whatever direction you wanted to, and whatever you managed to get by nightfall would be yours. So sure enough, this guy starts racing, and the layout of the land was such that the further you ran, the nicer the land was. And the person starts running, and he's running, and it's still more, still more. And then at some point, he sees it's almost dark, makes a really big push, and grabs another piece of land, you know, and he lies down on it, and he says, "This also is mine," and he drops dead. My father used to say it in Russian. I don't know Russian. My father used to say the punchline in Russian. But the point is, lo yatsume means there's no point at which the person passes the midmark. He's always still in the mode that's rushing. We have in the Lashon of the Rishonim, we have the Yimei of Nairus, which Nair means motion, like his Eirus, and you have Yimei HaMida, the Tkufa of standing, consolidating. A person has acquired, attained, learned, and now I want to try and to sort of consolidate it and put it together, and so on. The person who's not interested in that is on the b'china of le'atzimeha. So Alexander couldn't live past his half-life because he didn't have a second half. The second half of one's life is the tkufa of having what one attained, consolidating what attained, and that wasn't his chelik. Any questions?
Okay. Yes, how would you apply that to Rukhnias? Is there a time of consolidation in Torah?
Well yes, I can give you a parallel to it. It says if a person learns without chazering, it's like it's like somebody catches birds and doesn't break their wings. It's people in their eagerness to get ahead, so to speak, will not consolidate and retain what they have. An over-eagerness without an attempt at retention, integration, etc., might be parallel to this. Okay, next week, I'm not going to do it. The yeshiva's going away with the Bachman, we're going away for 3-4 days. Then afterwards, the Mitzvah Shem should be fairly regular. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Sure, fine.
Shabbos. Thank you.